Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Great. Today, we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, and that's the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, Section 1, about what we believe as Catholics. The creed that we say on Sunday includes the line, "I believe in life everlasting." We take those words for granted sometimes, but Father, what does life everlasting mean?
Well, that's a great question, Tim. Life everlasting, sometimes we refer to as eternal life, and it begins in baptism. And what we mean by life everlasting or eternal life is a share in God's life. In other words, we enjoy human life now, but thanks to a special grace given to us in baptism, we actually participate in the life of the Blessed Trinity so that we can think like God, love like God, act like God. And that save, and in doing so, we not only save ourselves, but we help to save the world. We participate in the work of Jesus Christ, who was sent to save the world. And to save the world, he wants to give every human person a share in the life of the Blessed Trinity, eternal life or everlasting life.
Isn't that also a definition of grace, that it's a share in the life of God?
That's correct.
So that's why the sacraments are so critical to the Christian life.
Exactly. You know, we talk about receiving grace first in baptism, but we receive grace through all the seven sacraments. But the other six nourish that everlasting life, that eternal life, that share in the life of the Blessed Trinity, that nourishes that life, that helps us to grow in that life, that gives that life a deeper grip on our person, and that's all through the grace of and there is no substitute for the sacraments. This grace comes only through the sacraments.
Will there be a judgment after we die?
Yeah, great question. You know, the Church speaks about a particular judgment. You know, when we die, the soul is separated from the body, and at that time, there's a particular judgment where we stand before God, and our life is determined, our life then, it's clear to us then that based on how we've lived our lives, what awaits us in the next life. And then there's the final judgment, when our souls and bodies are reunited at the resurrection of the body, and then that's a final judgment.
Perfect. What is heaven?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what it is and what it's like?
Wow, the life of heaven. That's everlasting life, eternal life. That's the life that the saints enjoy now, that Mary enjoys as the highest of the saints. You know, there's only one saint who enjoys the fullness of the life of heaven now because she has her body, and that's our Blessed Mother Mary. But all the other saints also enjoy the life of heaven, but not to the same extent. The life of heaven is the life of perfect peace, where there is no more suffering, no more sadness, no more separation from loved ones, where there's no death, where God is all in all, where, you know what I like to think of? When I go on the pro-life march down in Washington, D.C., and there's 500,000 people who all love life, love our Lord, love each other, I mean, they're filled with love. It's called a protest, but it's really
an affirmation.
It's an affirmation of love and life.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I always think, wow, this is what heaven's like. Being surrounded by 500,000 people with this intensity of love for God and for life.
So if heaven is life everlasting with God, can you define purgatory for us?
Yeah. You know, that's an excellent question. What is purgatory? We believe that there are some people in this life who develop such a high degree of virtue in this life that they go to heaven immediately after death. We call them the saint, the canonized saints. But for most of us, we have not developed that high a degree of virtue in this life. And there is still some residual vice. There's still some residual desire for sin, for sin. And we need to be purged of that. We need to undergo a final purgation so that there is no vestige of desire for what is evil. Because to be in God's presence and yet still desire evil would be hell. So before we can enjoy the full life, eternal life, everlasting life, forever in God's presence, we need to be purgated. We need purgatory. We need to be purged of those vestiges, those inclinations we still have. That drawing, that desire that we still have toward evil.
So purgatory isn't a second chance, so to speak, but it's a cleansing of our souls so that they can be made perfect, so that we can go to heaven.
Exactly. And, you know, some people mistakenly think, well, if I don't take care of it here on earth, I can always take care of it in purgatory. But what the church teaches is it's much easier to develop virtue. It's much less painful. As difficult and as painful as it is to develop virtue in this life, it's much less painful to develop it in this life than in purgatory. And it's difficult to describe the pain of purgatory. It's the change of and part of the pain of purgatory is the fact that our hearts, we love what is evil, and our hearts need to change. And that's a much more painful process in purgatory than it is here in this life. It's actually it's part of God's mercy that he gives us the time here to develop the life of virtue, to purge our hearts here of evil inclination, which, by the way, requires grace. This is not simply the work of human resources. This requires the grace of the sacraments. This requires developing the virtue of humility. This requires actually practicing our faith and suffering whatever suffering we have to endure to live authentically as Christians. It's better that we purge our soul of this now than suffer the terrible pain in the purgatory.
Mm-hmm. And some of the biblical evidence we have for purgatory in the Old Testament, in the book of Maccabees, they're praying for the dead. And in the New Testament, we have St. Paul praying for his friend Onesiphorus. And the logic is that if they're already in heaven, they don't need our prayers. If they're condemned to hell, our prayers can't help them. So there has to be a third place or condition where our prayers can do some good, hopefully, and that leads to my next question, can we help the souls in purgatory?
Well, it's a good point you bring up. You know, purgatory, the word purgatory simply means purgation, the cleansing, because we did not develop a high enough degree of virtue in this life to spend eternal life with God forever in heaven. And in purgatory, the souls in purgatory pray for us, Because remember, we're still part of the communion of persons, the communion of saints. We're still all one body in Jesus Christ, both the living and the dead. All the baptized, including those who have gone before us marked with the sign of faith, they are still one body. And so as one body, we are one body. We are united with the persons in purgatory. So they pray for us, and we pray for them. This is part of being members of the body of Christ.
I think it's important to point out, too, that the church teaches that the souls in purgatory cannot pray for themselves.
Correct.
So unless we do it, again, that's part of our job, I like to say, is that we need to pray not just for our loved ones who have gone before us, but even for people who may not have someone to pray for them in purgatory.
That's a very good point. You know, you pointed out in Maccabees and in other places that, praying for the dead is a good and noble thing. It's a good and holy thing. That in the mystery of God's providence, He wants us to pray for the faithful departed. We should always pray for those who are in purgatory. That's a very important thing. Purgatory is a great sign of God's mercy. Mm-hmm. And that He's giving us this opportunity to purge us so that we can spend eternal life with Him forever in heaven. And as you pointed out, purgatory is the logical consequence of what has been revealed to us with regards to heaven and hell and praying for the dead.
Which brings me to my next question. If God really loves us, how could He condemn us to hell? What is hell, and is there a hell?
Yeah. Yeah, it seems unfair almost, or unloving. But of course, God does not condemn us to hell. We condemn ourselves to hell. God does not reject us. We reject Him.
Good point.
God does not turn away from us. We turn away from Him. God is no closer to the saint than He is to the sinner. It's we who turn away from Him. In fact, in many ways, God does not treat us according to our sins so much as according to our needs. And so in some ways, God is closer to the sinner because He knows that the sinner needs Him more. So it's not God who condemns us to hell. It's not God who rejects us. It's we who turn away from Him. It's we who reject Him. His sole desire is for every human person to enjoy eternal life with Him forever in heaven. Now, in this great mystery of divine providence, the possibility exists of hell and eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm. And I also like to say that hell would be the absence of the presence of God and being able to be with God. So that would be another explanation of hell. Well, thanks again for joining us today, Father Matura. You've done a great job of explaining some of the definitions of heaven and purgatory and hell and our last judgment. Thanks for joining us today. This is Tim Perry. Until next time, may God richly bless you and yours. Bye now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.